John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good week as we get toward the end of this week. Getting big football game tonight. Certainly some big football games over the weekend and a lot of stuff going on, but something to celebrate. We're going to celebrate that with the top five stories of the day, and the top five is brought to you by Eastside Funding.
Number one.
Cloud will take again and connect, but that will do it. The Seattle Storm have climbed back to the mountaintop. They are your 2018 WNBA champions.
And how about that? A championship, and really, this turned out to be pretty easy because this matchup was very, very seemingly perfect for them to be able to just run through everything, and it looked great. Big victory last night, and of course, lots of things. That's the third championship in the WNBA for the Storm, 98-82 victory over the Washington Mystic. Breonna Stewart ends up getting the MVP with 30 points, and so at 24, she's already won four NCAA championships, was the NBA Rookie of the Year, MVP, Finals MVP, and WNBA champion. And of course, Natasha Howard added 29 points, 14 rebounds. Sue Bird, 10 points, 10 assists. Sue Bird, now it's three championships. And boy, Mar, where do you kind of have to put her in, you know, the history of sports in this town? Because, I mean, you know, players win championships. Great players get you those championships. And clearly, she's a great player. I mean, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, there's unfortunately not a ton of championships in this town, so you got to put her up there at the top, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I would say so. Yeah, I mean that's just absolutely fantastic for what she's able to do. And, you know, the fact that she's so tough, she played with a broken nose, she really stepped up at the right time and got the big victory on the game on Sunday with that, the comeback. I mean, just a great, great player, and I think she means so much, and it's so great to have a championship. And I think now, particularly, you know, with the way things are with the Mariners and, you know, the Seahawks trying to bounce back, Huskies trying to go for a championship, you know, they've established themselves as a big place in this town. And I know the Storm coach Dan Hughes says, you know, thinking about the year, all you could see was just an escalation of the way it was played. And so they come out of the series against Phoenix and they go against Washington. And Washington, the Mystic, didn't look like they could hardly match up. Yeah, they had one close game, but it was not close enough. I mean, certainly it was one that, you know, they were able to win. And, of course, 16 points in the championship, and they controlled this game the entire time. So there'll be a parade and rally that's going to be this Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Key Arena. More details will be coming out over the next couple days. You know, stay tuned to that and, you know, celebrate with the Storm. It's a shame they weren't able to be in town to get this victory, but it was one where they got the championship, and now you get a chance to celebrate with them coming up over the weekend at the Key Arena on Sunday.
Number two.
He's extraordinarily explosive. He's really fast. He's really instinctive. He's a real natural player. So he takes advantage of, you saw him the other night, take advantage of situations that he was in. He wasn't always in the best position, but he still could come up and make a play or make something happen. And to be as good as he is, to be the player of the year or whatever in the conference or in the league, you have to have all of the attributes, and he has them. He's speed, strength, explosion, savvy, motor, you know, he has all that stuff, and he's just getting in shape too, so he's going to get better.
Oh yeah, and it's talking about, that's Pete Carroll talking about Khalil Mack and just how great he is, and there's no doubt a great player, and bad trade I think for the Seahawks in the sense that now they have to face Mack after going against Von Miller, and bad trade I think for the Oakland Raiders because now they don't have Mack, but a good trade so far in the way he was able to work out. Unfortunately for the Bears, they did not get the victory. They gave up the 24 points to Aaron Rodgers in the second half, blowing a 20-point lead. But here's kind of interesting. Vegas now starting to turn a little bit, maybe in favor of the Bears, but against the Seahawks. And so with that 3-point loss that the Broncos had, now the Bears are established as 3.5-point favors, and the over-under is supposed to be 43.5. Aaron Schott from Football Outsider, he's saying that the Seahawks will pull out a victory, though, and he still gives pretty decent rankings and says right now the Seahawks outrank the Bears in his football power index. Currently, they have the Seahawks at 19. 13th and the Bears 21st. Overall, you can see that the pressure is going to be on Russell Wilson again. And I know that Aaron Schatz was able to come up with an interesting stat, is that here's Russell, 42.5% of his plays, he was under duress, and that was the fourth worst in the league, 29th overall. So pass protection has to be better. That's going to be a big part of it. The running game has to be better. I think you can pretty well see there's probably going to be a lot of two tight end sets to try to at least set the edges and make sure that Mack and Leonard Floyd are not going to be as much of a problem. Still, 3.5 point favorites right now for the Bears over the Seahawks. Boy, when was the last time you'd say that?
Number three.
And the 2-2 to Herman. Swing and a miss for strike three. And the ball game is over. The Padres hang on, and they win it this afternoon. A final score of 5-4. The Padres sweep the Mariners in the brief two-game series.
And we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. I mean, what an ugly stretch for this team right now. Almost embarrassing the way things are going, because they now swept four games by the worst team in the National League. And you can almost see there's something amiss with this team internally. I mean, I know that guys, Gene Segura is claiming sickness, and I know that James Paxton's claiming sickness, and I think right now the sickness is the way this team is really playing, the lack of hitting, everything else. But how do you lose four games to a team like the Padres, 59-88? Wade LeBlanc went out there, pitched five innings, gave up five runs and four hits. Bullpen, they were pretty good for five innings again, but the overall, the Mariner bats just really swung and missed. And, of course, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Between the sixth and the eighth innings, the Padres struck out nine Mariners in that stretch. And so a virus right now has pushed James Paxton back, so he's not going to fly with the team to go to Anaheim tonight. Segura, of course, out of the lineup because he's expected to be down there. Felix is unlikely to make his start because of a hamstring injury. He's got some tightness in the hamstring right now. The tightness is, it looks like this season is over for the Mariners. They're now, what, 9.5 games behind the Oakland A's. And really, I think within a matter of a week, they're going to be officially eliminated from the wild card. And this
number
is Ronda Diamond. Thank you by Shane Company, your friend in the diamond business.
He was going to play. You'll see me out there next week. That's what he said, coming right off the field. But that tone has changed a little bit as, first of all, his knee has swelled up. He's gotten swollen over the course of the week. He's done a lot of rehab, but that's just the reality. And he's been in pain, and Rogers has been on the record saying he doesn't like painkillers, doesn't like opioids, doesn't want to get into all of that. So it sounds like this week has been a little bit of a struggle, so much so that he did not even practice yesterday. He spent the time during practice in the rehab group, actually inside the building, working on his knee.
Well, at this stage, still don't know about Aaron Rodgers, and even Mike McCarthy says, hey, don't be sure of all this. I still think he's going to be able to play, but the fact that the swelling came in the knee, which is expected. I mean, again, it depends on how much pain there is, but he is not practicing, and of course, that puts them at a severe disadvantage as they go against the Minnesota Vikings in a critical game that's going to be one that could determine the division, because Minnesota does not want, they want to certainly take a game away and win in Green Bay. And so that's going to be good. So McCarthy has a rehab group going right now for Aaron Rodgers. So that's good. So now for the Oakland Raiders, the team that traded away Khalil Mack, they have more problems on defense. Justin Ellis suffered an ankle injury, so he goes on the injured reserve list. And so they had to end up signing two more players. Jonathan Hankins, one of the better defensive linemen out there, 31-year-old Clinton McDonald. So now that gives them, 16 players that are in their 30s. That's real good. So Raiders have now going to be starting P.J. Hall, Justin Ellis also. By the way, P.J. Hall, the rookie, he's got an ankle problem. So two defensive linemen come in. This team right now not getting off to a good start, lost 33-13 in their season opener. Pharaoh Cooper, the great special teams player for the Los Angeles Rams, going to go on IR with a severe ankle injury. He's got some loose fragments in there. Looks like surgery may be on the way for him. Big blow to the Rams. The team right now is off to the good 1-0 start with their 20-point victory over the Oakland Raiders.
Number five.
Was Dre Kirkpatrick, corner for the Bengals, told me when they see Lamar Jackson entering the game, they have to maintain their poise. And that's very similar to what Marvin Lewis told me. He said they can't overcomplicate the matter. If he's in there as a runner, they have to hit him and bring him down just like they would every other ball carrier.
So tonight, pretty good game. One to see if the Bengals are for real, and I think that you can certainly look and see that the Ravens are for real. I know it was a 47-3 victory over the Buffalo Bills, but Bills not being very good. But I like what I see of the Ravens. Good run defense. You can see Joe Flacco's at his best right now. But surprisingly, Flacco's only like 3-6 in his games in Cincinnati, and I know I've covered a whole bunch of them. But the big thing for them, the whole new wide receiver crew looks so much better. Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, that looks good. You know, Alex Collins got off to a kind of a quiet start. He had 7 carries. Kenneth Dixon had 13, but that didn't work out too well because Dixon went on the injured reserve list. So, big game to see, you know, who's either second place or maybe with Pittsburgh struggling with their start of the season, maybe the Ravens can take over first or the Bengals can come back and once again be a factor. Remember, they have 5 straight playoff years and they've missed the last 2. So who do you think wins tonight? We'll get into that certainly as time goes on. Hey, you can listen to my show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Coming up next, we're going to go under further review and kind of go over some of the criticism the Seahawks are taking, particularly with the offense. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Under further review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
So under further review, we kind of look at what's going on around town and see. And of course, there's a kind of interesting thing I know is a subject on Brock and Salk today. Mark Sloreth put the blame on the Seahawks loss because Mark, of course, in Denver, he called the game for Fox as the analyst and said he puts it more not on the team. I think he puts it on 2 people. He puts it on Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, on Pete Carroll, the coach, and the criticism that he had as far as the 27-24 loss to the Denver Broncos.
You only ran it 16 times. 2, you set up no boot keep action game at all. You did not get your quarterback outside the pocket ever designed. So you didn't put a threat on that defense, a run pass option threat ever. Not one time in that game. The one time you half rolled out, you threw a 51 yard touchdown to Lockett. It was an exceptional route, but you got him away from all that pressure and you threw it. You did that one time. So, you know, it's, don't point the finger, pull the thumb. That's on you as a coaching staff. Now, if you want to rip him in team meeting, I'm all for it. Man, I saw my offensive line coach rip John Elway for not carrying out a boot keep. I mean, in his grill in team meeting. That doesn't bother me at all. We all go through that. But I'm like, if you want to point the finger, you know, point it at yourself and say, we have to do a better job coaching.
Yeah, Mr. Schlereth is pointing right back at Pete and Brian Schottenheimer in particular there. That, you know, and they were taking the comments. It's very strange, Salk. When we sat down with Pete right on Monday, the headline that came out nationally is Pete blames Russell Wilson. Or the Pro Football Talk headline was Pete says Russell wasn't good enough. Did you get any of that feeling when we sat with Pete for a half hour on Monday? That it was a Russell... In any way, a Russell rip job or any way pointing the finger whatsoever? Like, I got none of that.
No.
There have been other times I have felt that in 7 years, but I certainly didn't feel any of that. But that's what everyone ran with, and I think it relates to the article last Friday and Richard Sherman, and maybe this is going to be an ongoing
Sherman's
deal.
Happy. Another ripping Russ.
Yeah,
he got his way.
There you go. I guess so. But I think Schlereth is absolutely right. The lack of nakeds, the lack of movement. There was so much fear, I guess, of that edge pressure in Von Miller that I'm sure that's what Brian Schottenheimer's thinking. Like, we can't get outside of it. Well, yes, you can. And when you did and you half-booted, you had the best play of the game, the 51-yard bomb to Lockett. I'll say this. If you're not on the move against Khalil Mack and Floyd and the rest of those Bears, and you're going to play him between the tackles as a stationary object, which he was the majority of the time in the pocket, that's going to set up for absolute disaster on Monday night.
So interesting, the criticism that's there. And, you know, it's funny how there's an overreaction, I think, to an article thinking, okay, you know, blame and all that stuff. It's like, okay, Russell Wilson didn't have his best game. So Pete Carroll points it out, and it's like Pete Carroll ripping in response to the article and all this stuff that was out there on ESPN and, you know, of course, from before. And, of course, the Sports Illustrated article on MMQB. And it's like, you know, it's an overreaction. Okay, it was a 27-24. before loss, it was predictable. It was predictable in the sense that they were going against, they were on the road. They had so many issues as far as young players out there, and Russell Wilson, and of course the run game's there. Yeah, I think that Brian Schottenheimer did not get off to a good start. That I agree. But also, Pete Carroll is not trying to overreact to the story. I mean, he's just pointed out that they need more things better. Now you get his voice, but again, I guess when you see the quotes and you put the article together and you start to say, oh yeah, so this is, he's now changing his tune and all that, and he's putting his quarterback down. No, he didn't put his quarterback down. I mean, he said this several times before through the years that, no, Russell needs to do better on this. Russell needs to do better on this. Was there an overreaction then? And in fact, I guess maybe the overreaction was in the locker room because some players thought that maybe more criticism internally should have gone at Russell Wilson on some things. But it's amazing to see how this team with one loss is now twisting in the winds as far as what people are thinking about it. Hey, it's one game. Now, if you lose a second game to the Chicago Bears, there's definite problems. But, I mean, some of these things are understandable. I mean, you have the right side of the line that was trying to readjust. You were going against a great player in Von Miller. I mean, they need to run the ball more. That has to be done. They have to successfully run the ball more. You can't go 15 plays. I mean, the stat that is followed by Brian Schottenheimer, and it's the old theory of 49, which is now the theory of 53. I mean, you have to have a combination of rushing attempts and pass completions that get to 53. It used to be 49, but people pass the ball more now. So when you only have 15 runs and you have 33 passes, you're not getting there. And, of course, your 33 passes don't include the completion. So you're now in the low 30s, and that's simply a losing formula. But you see the mistakes. I mean, the penalties, the interceptions, the bad decisions, and all those things that played into it. But, boy, I think there's just an overreaction. It's like, oh, look at this, and Pete and all that. Yeah, coaches have to take the blame for losses a lot of times. Players have to take the blame for losses a lot of times. But let's not overreact in this. More, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, Russell did a lot of good things. He got the ball downfield. He made big plays. Look at what he was able to do with Will Disley. Did he deserve some criticism? Yeah, I mean, he fumbled a snap. He was had two interceptions. He spun his way into about three of the six sacks. But there was the pressure. And Aaron Schatz's stat of 42.5% under duress, well, that's not good.
No, you know what it is? It's that everyone wanted to see something that looked completely different from last year. And that didn't happen, and I think people are panicking. I heard a lot of, it looked pretty similar to Bevel's offense, and people were expecting it to look completely different because there's a completely different staff right now.
Mm-hmm. But, you need the blocking to make it work. You also, need the success. I mean, I think it's pretty quick. And that's why I kind of wondered, and I wondered this the first day that we knew about the injury to Rashad Penny, that with the finger he was not going to play any more preseason games. And I thought maybe there would be a consideration to get C.J. Procise a little bit more of the backup job, because speed of the game is an adjustment that he's not had the ability to make. And you saw him get caught so many times at the line of scrimmage on his seven carries that he just couldn't get any momentum going and all that stuff. Speed
of the
game.
Talk about
different.
Overreacting, John. People have been pretty hard on him after one week that were pretty high on him. And I know we played audio right after he got hurt of LaDainian Tomlinson saying this is going to set him back, a young guy missing the last few weeks of training camp. So I think we need to take it easy on him, give him a little time to catch up.
Agreed. I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, this isn't a Super Bowl team. Can we all accept that? Is that not, can he be a playoff team? Yeah. It's like, all right, so there's going to be losses. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be this. I mean, again, I still go by the numbers. They had six rookie or first-year players out there, right, for the first time. All right, so that's then three on offense, three on defense. Then they had three other players that had no training camp out there. I mean, Earl Thomas had no training camp. If you would combine the practices of, Earl Thomas, of J.R. Sweezy and also Deion Jordan, those three players, you're not even going to come up with double figures. I mean, what are you going to come up with, seven or eight practices? I mean, I know that you can have success, as we've seen with a couple players. You saw Earl have success having no training camp. But also, you need to still have some training camp to at least get in sync and all that stuff. And if not, you're going to be rusty. You're going to make mistakes. And those things happen. Well, they had a lot of mistakes. Now, you've had one game under your belt. They resume practice today to try to see if they can fix some things and get things better. And they need a win in Chicago. But let's not overreact to the story. and words and stuff like that. But, man, this is an overreaction. It's just like crazy. Hey, you can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Hey, so also, too, hey, you can join the ESPN Seattle and host Dave Wyman for Hawks Live every Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar in Bellevue for a preview of this week's game and an in-person player interview. Hawks Live is brought to you by Heritage Distilling Batch Number 12 Vodka, Legendary Donuts, and Pearl Seafood Oyster Bar. All right, coming up next, we want to get your phone calls because I know we're going to talk to Jeff Schwartz and kind of review the offensive line and where the offense is, but wanted to get a chance to get together and get your phone calls. What are you overreacting to this? Is it an overreaction? What do you think of this team? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give your thoughts now, one game into the season. Where are you on the Seahawks? It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And, of course, we wanted to get your reaction because we haven't been able to do this, talk to you about what is going on with the Seahawks. Are you disappointed? And obviously you have to be disappointed because it was a bad start. But are you over-panicked? Where are you on this team? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with Wayne in Port Orchard. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, I think there is a bit of an overreaction. You know, it is the first game of the season, and people have a tendency sometimes to look at the negative, but a couple things to keep in mind. This was the Denver team playing at home, a tough environment, just like any team that comes to Seattle and plays us. So I wasn't surprised that we lost the game. I was hoping that we would win it, but, of course, I wasn't surprised. And I got to say, too, I think that this Chicago game coming up is going to be a really tough game. The Chicago defense is extremely good, and we need to protect Russell. That's going to be the main focus for this Sunday.
On Monday, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think that there is an overreaction right now. Certainly, there's a lot of things that this team has to catch up on, and sometimes it may take some time to catch up, but this is a vital game, and I think you can see it's probably not a surprise that they have favored the Bears because they are at home. You're right about their defense. It's a top-10 defense that now has added Khalil Mack. That's pretty impressive when you think about it because of how good Mack is. And so, yeah, they've got to protect, and they've got to run the football. They've got to find a way to get a running game going. I think that's
important. Yeah, there's no question about it. And as far as environment goes, Soldier Field is a tough place also to play in. And depending on what the weather's going to be like, that field could be like cement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing we need to keep our eyes on is we sure don't want to go in there and get anybody hurt.
No, agreed. That's a
real hard, especially in the month of December and in January when that ground gets frozen over there. That is a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there's been a bit of an overreaction. This team is in a rebuilding position. I think everybody kind of sees that, hears it, and understands it. So it is a bit of an overreaction right now. I think that we were halfway through the season and we're seeing some falling. Then maybe I could see some opinions there.
Yeah, no, good call. Hey, Wayne, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Your thoughts on this team? Where do you think it is? How disappointed? How strong do you think it's going to bounce back? Let's go to Adam in Seattle. Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning, Professor. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you.
I'm not going to overreact at all. It's the first game of the season, and plus going to Denver is hard as itself. Even Tom Brady has a bad record going to Denver, so I'm not going to overreact on the first game. And going to the Bears, I'm going to say the obvious, and I think that this game has Chris Carson written all over it. He should have 20 carries, and he should run on the left side of the line to avoid Khalil Mack as much as possible. And as for the Bears, and as for the passing game, the Bears' pass defense against the Packers got really exposed in the second half. So I'm looking for a big game for Tyler Lockett in the deep passing game. So I'm looking for a huge game for the Seahawks offense this next game.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if it's going to be huge because, again, this is a good defense. I mean, they've got some talent, and I think it's a matter that it's not like they're going to put up 400 yards. It's not like they're going to dominate, but they've just got to get some consistency. They got to do the stuff they did in the preseason. They got to run the football. Simple as that. I mean, you've got to have success running the football. I mean, you can't have the three and outs. I mean, you can't repeat the stuff that you saw last year. That's now got to go. And so what they need to do is just establish a run, not make mistakes, not put them in a position where they have to kind of scramble around like they did. You know, that's where the bad part of this comes in. But, no, I think that they're going to be a little bit stronger in how they handle things, and I think they'll be certainly better. But, no, this is going to be a challenge, but I think it's a challenge because, again, the difference is, okay, Case Keenum did a great job of moving the chains and getting the short passes and all those different things, and it worked because certainly with all the confusion in the secondary with so many new guys there, there's going to be some issues. But I think that Mitch Trubisky is not as experienced as Case Keenum, and I think that he can be pushed into position to make some more mistakes.
Oh, you're exactly right. And with losing Doug Baldwin, that should fill up the shoes for Brandon Marshall, and you know, of course, Tyler Lockett have a huge, a big role. So hopefully, those two guys are in sync.
Hey, thank you very much for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Getting your reaction to the Seahawks, where they are right now to start. Is there overreaction? People trying to pin too much, putting it on Pete, putting it on Brian Schottenheimer. Let's go to Truman in Blaine. Hey, Truman.
How you doing today, John?
Doing good.
You know, the way I look at it is we showed up in Denver, and I feel like our first road game went pretty great. I mean, we did score pretty soon in the game. And, you know, Wilson did awesome. You know, I feel like he had some great passes. You know, Will Disley, that was pretty awesome. You know, see him get in the end zone was just phenomenal. But I want to see more running. I want to see us, you know, run the ball more. I think Chris Carson can really, really do, you know, have a lot of talent on the field. We just need to get him the ball. I have a question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you feel about Wilson, you know, staying in the pocket and not getting out there running? I mean, he was sacked so many times. You know, why is he not getting out of the pocket? Why do they want to keep him in the pocket?
Well, I mean, they want to try to keep him in the pocket if he can, just because you can get rid of the ball quicker. I think that's the one thing that Brian Schottenheimer wants from him, is to, you know, not necessarily hold on to the ball too much. You know, the one thing that, you know, because he's 5'10 and 5'8", he does have a little bit difficulty seeing over his offensive lineman and being able to, be able to read downfield. And so he's got to have a little bit of movement. But again, you saw back at the end of the 2016 season, I think it was, how good he was in the pocket. I mean, he was about as good as you're going to find. No, the 2015 season, he was, you know, one of the best pocket passers in the league. But again, his game is to run. But, you know, I think that they want to make sure that he doesn't get hurt, so they're going to limit some of the running plays. But also, what you need him to be able to do is, if a play breaks down, you know, run forward and try to get that first down. They have got to move the chains. That's something they didn't do last year. That's something they didn't do until the fourth quarter of the games last year. And it's something they didn't do in week one.
Well, yeah, they've always been a fourth quarter team, you know, and Wilson trying to spin out of the pocket, you know, right into Von Miller. You know, that was frustrating. You know, we put a Fetty up against him, and that was tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll try to get a read on how Efetti did play in the first game. Again, it wasn't probably as bad as everybody thought. Maybe not necessarily great, but not necessarily horrible. But, they need more from him. Hey, thank you for the call, Truman.
Awesome. Appreciate it, but have a good day.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Taking your calls and seeing what you think about the Seahawks. Where are you on this team right now? Big game coming up against Chicago. It's Monday Night Football. And, you know, it's funny because, I mean, you can see, you know, the people outside the area that's go to four wins and all that different stuff. Nevertheless, the networks seem to believe in the Seahawks. You know, they were able to have them on the game. The networks, particularly in the night games, two games in December. And of course, this one's going to see how it does. May not do so great for ratings. We'll see. Because I know the first game down about a point and a half as far as it, because it wasn't New England in the first game. 866. Well, thank you for the phone calls. Now what we're going to do next is we're going to come back and we're going to go behind the lines and get you up to date on what's going on in the National Football League. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
And, of course, we go behind the lines each day to take a look at what's going on in the National Football League. And, of course, there is a football game tonight. Interesting to see how that one's going to turn out because I've been to so many of those games through the years, Cincinnati-Baltimore, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, because usually – and it's funny because normally they don't get much attention, even though because Cincinnati doesn't seem to be in the main spotlight league-wide. And so you get there and it's like you get the 1 o'clock East Coast game. You get a chance to maybe catch a flight back that night or get ready to go to the next thing, and so I've always been able to catch a lot of those games, but it's one where I guess this is kind of a proving ground right now to see how good the Bills are and if there's any hope right now for the Bengals. You know, the Bengals have really taken it hard the last couple of years because, you know, they had the 5 straight runs for the playoffs and then didn't win a playoff game, and now they're not close to the playoffs at all. They're hoping that they bounce back a little bit, but still don't have an idea how good they really are. They certainly look better. It's going to be interesting to watch John Ross tonight. You know, John Ross now seems to be in good favor with the coach, Marvin Lewis, because he wasn't last year. I mean, it was one where they had a lot of people that, thought that John Ross should do a little bit more, and he didn't. It just didn't seem to work out. But I kind of like what I see so far of them in the preseason. It was a slow start against the Indianapolis Colts, but the Red Rifle was able to come back and put up about 38 points and get the offense going. And now it's going to be a Joe Flacco show because Joe Flacco is definitely challenged in the sense that, he's got Lamar Jackson on the team, and he's not happy about that, understandably. He has certainly had his best training camp, and so he wants to kind of put on a good show tonight, and we'll see if he's going to be able to do that because they definitely need a good game out of him because, they've got 3 good receivers right now that seemingly have changed their fate. Alex Collins got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's their main running back, so lots of challenges right now in that game. Then of course you look around and you see what else is coming up this weekend. It's a big weekend, I think. Big weekend in a sense that, I mean, you can look and you can see that there's a lot going to be on the line. That Green Bay Minnesota game is huge, but now it's starting to be some wondering if there is going to be any kind of a chance that you might not see Aaron Rodgers. I still think you're going to be able to see him. I really do. I still think that he is in a position right now where he can try to go out there and play, but I mean, if the swelling on the knee is becoming too much, if the pain is becoming too much, then there's certainly going to be some issues and certainly some problems. But I think that still he does have a chance to play, but each day now you start to get a little bit more skeptical about his chances, and boy, do they need him big time. I mean, he's so important to that team, and if they lose, could you imagine if Rodgers did not come back and the Packers get off to an 0-2 start? Could you imagine how bad that would be? I mean, that would be absolutely disastrous, and one that you go, whoa, what's going to happen next? But I think that it all comes down to Aaron Rodgers, and you look around the NFC, and again, I look at this conference as being as deep as you can find, because you look and you see good quarterbacks on just about every team. We'll see where Mitch Trubisky — I know the one stat that I think is so important is like 14 of the top 20 quarterbacks are in the NFC. And the only two that aren't in that top group of 20 is Sam Bradford, who's not bad, and Mitch Trubisky, who we're still trying to figure out. And so with that in mind, it's like, okay, where is the chances of them getting, an easier type of game? That's why I think that, if indeed they have good success in this one, Seattle is trying to stop Mitch Trubisky. Because then, I'm thinking about this, Mara. You go back and you look at this game, and Case Keenum had 4 good receivers he was able to throw to, and certainly was able to move the football and do the different things, get the short passes going. They don't have that in Chicago. They don't have great receivers with the Bears. Yeah, Allen Robinson's a good one, but he's coming off an ACL. And offensively, are they going to be good enough? I know they scored 23 on the Packers, but can they score more than 23 points? And I question that. The key for the Seahawks defense, and I throw this to you, Maura, is that they've got to hold teams to 23 points or less. If they can do that, then they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Not as deep in the receiving core. They do have a pretty good running back in Jordan Howard, and the Seahawks did struggle a little against the run last week, so hopefully they can tighten up on that. But I don't think that we have to worry as much about the defense this week. I think it's offensively protecting Wilson that's the bigger concern.
Mm-hmm. And the conditions. I mean, again, that was a tough one because I know I was on the sidelines, and I certainly didn't struggle or anything like that, but I knew there was going to be a difficult thing with the fact that you have the high altitude of Mile High. I mean, you live there. You know what it's like. And so I think that seems to be underestimated because, again, you factor that in, and I thought they did a decent job of trying to mix it around and make sure that all the guys didn't get too overdone as far as getting out there too much and doing it. I thought they did a nice job, but I think guys were gassed in that game, as naturally you would expect.
Yeah, and then you have the rookie situation. I know as much as they like Shaquem Griffin, he struggled a little bit. He wasn't, it was not the plan to have him start right away, so I don't think that's a horrible thing. He'll pick it up. But it seems like maybe they might just go ahead and put Caliccio out there to start this week. Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I don't know about that. I mean, because, again, I think they like Caliccio as the backup middle linebacker. I think Griffin right now has done enough to at least earn the chance to be able to be out there and get the start. But, again, if he struggles, because, again, I think they like what he saw. And, of course, he got lost a little bit, got caught in some bad positions. But still, I think he's pretty good. What they really need more than anything else is KJ Wright.
Yes.
I mean, that's I think, the big one because he's so valuable to the team, but looks like they probably have one more week without him.
Yeah, we maybe haven't talked about that enough, how important he is. We've talked a lot about Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you think about the fact that, they go down, six players on defense that were Pro Bowlers that weren't on the field. And, of course, the one in, Earl Thomas just being out there with hardly any training camp work. What, 3 days of practice? I mean, that's not easy. If you think that's one that's, whoa, can you really do that? I mean, I think that's where the difficulty is.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got a lot of that. Deion Jordan hadn't practiced a lot. Earl Thomas hadn't been there at all. So I definitely see things picking up as the season progresses here. It's just, like you said, tough to go to Denver right off the bat, tough to face Khalil Mack right off the bat. They've got to see DeMarcus Lawrence after that, Aaron Donald twice. There's just a lot going on right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's something that they've got to, be conservative. Again, it's like now they've had one game under the belt, and, you notice that you go up and down the league and you see, the inconsistency that's reality when you're looking at the injuries and the stuff like that, and certainly the first game. Because, again, I still equate this, as Bill Parcells says, when you look at week one with the limited practice time, this is like the third preseason game as far as where teams really are. And with that in mind, I mean, that does not make it easy. I mean, you now need a couple extra weeks to get the blocking. I mean, you notice you didn't see a lot of 100-yard runners. I mean, I know it was kind of funny because I think that the average team ran for about 120 yards, but I think it was only like two or three 100-yard runners overall in the game. But the running was up this first week of the season compared to, in fact, stats were up. I mean, the fact that they had 48 points a game, that's a great start to the season. But again, so much of that's because the missed tackles, the mistakes, the pick sixes, all those bad things that happened.
Yeah, lots of rusty quarterbacks throwing two interceptions or more this last week.
Oh, yeah. And again, I think, it was like one of the worst years in about 10 for, quarterbacks throwing interceptions. I mean, there was more interceptions this week than just about any others. But, that's some things they just got to fix up as time goes on.
One of those that had a rough first week and threw three picks was Ben Roethlisberger. They're facing the Chiefs this week, who got off to a great start. How do you see the Steelers rebounding, or do you think they can?
You think they can, but they seem to be so distracted. I mean, first off, to Cleveland was sad. How do you lose to Cleveland? That's just awful. I mean, it's like,
well, tie, but it feels equivalent of a loss, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was not
tying good. With the Browns might as well be.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just bad. But they just have to bounce back from it. But again, I think the fact that they're at home, and they usually do well against Kansas City, I guess that's the one thing that does help. They have had a pretty good track record of either going into Kansas City and getting to win. Boy, I was really thinking about going to that game and just and then catching up and flying back to Chicago. I don't know. Maybe I regret not going to that game on Sunday.
Yeah, you might. I think that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's one that certainly I think could be a lot of fun to watch because now you get to see how their defense is going to do. J.J. Watt got off to, not J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt's brother got off to a real good start.
T.J., right?
Yeah, T.J. was out there making a lot of big plays, and Bud Dupree was out there getting some sacks. But still, they ended up getting a tie, and the Cleveland Browns, that's just awful. I mean, you can see the embarrassment in town, and you got Antonio Brown, threatening one of the local reporters, and that's not good. And you still have Le'Veon Bell holding out. I mean, it's just crazy stuff.
Some soap opera stuff going on with the Steelers these days. Oh. And then in the AFC, you've got an AFC championship rematch between the Jaguars and the Patriots this week.
That's going to be a good one. I mean, because now, I mean, you figure that they go in with limitations at the wide receiver position. They have all these other issues that are going on. So that could be a fascinating game to watch, too.
And you've got Gronkowski and Ramsey kind of going back and forth, so that'll be a fun matchup.
Yeah. A lot of fun stuff coming up. Hey, you can check out the show on the 710 Sports app, driven by your Puget Sound Action dealer. Hey, we're going to catch up with Jeff Schwartz as we do every Thursday from Action Network, from the Action. And, of course, he's got lots of stuff to go into. We'll talk to him next. This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.